Welcome to the Same Side Selling Podcast. I am your host, Ian Altman. So where do you start with new sellers? For several members of the Same Side Selling Academy, even though they started as new sellers, they quickly have become among the top performers in their respective organizations. And you might think to yourself, well, is that just an amazing coincidence? And I would think not. So what are some of the reasons why some new sellers don't do well and some do well? And what I want to talk about is first the traps that we fall into when onboarding new reps, and then talk about what I've seen to be successful in those members of our Same Side Selling Academy and in my clients that really has taken some of these new sellers and elevated them into high performers. Now, they might be new sellers, they might be new hires, they might be people who are professionals in your organization who, prior to today, never thought of themselves as having a role in sales. And so oftentimes what we do is we want to turn those talented professionals into rainmakers. We want those people to generate business. And so we follow things that people did with us in the past. And so we say, oh, you know what? You're new here. Here's what I'd like you to do. Follow Sally. Sally has been with our organization for 10 years. She's really skilled. She's amazingly successful. She's been in this community forever. She knows everybody. Follow her and do what Sally does and you'll be successful. And after 6 to 10 weeks of following Sally, what you find out is that this new hire that you have, this new seller, is doing exactly what Sally does. In fact, they drink their coffee the same way Sally does. They even use Sally's same catchphrase with client meetings. But sadly, unlike Sally, they are not top performers. And we ask ourselves, well, what went wrong? In fact, gee, this person when we hired them was right-handed, and now today they're left-handed just like Sally. But that hasn't actually resulted in better results. And then we think to ourselves, well, that's not working. You know what? We'll give them a pitch deck. And now they'll go out and they will pitch our products and services to clients and prospects. And that'll certainly work because other people in the organization have used pitch decks in the past, and that's been really successful. Sadly, that doesn't work. And then we think, aha, I know what the problem is. We have not been measuring adequately the number of phone calls and interactions that this new individual has. So we're going to start tracking meaningless metrics, like how many phone calls did you make? How many meetings do you have? And it's not that it's entirely meaningless. It's just that the reality is that isn't usually what moves the needle. Because at that point, you're tracking activity. You're not tracking accomplishments. So instead, what should you be doing? Well, what we found is that, especially if you hire people that have some sort of expertise in an industry, it doesn't mean that they're a professor in that space. It means maybe they've worked in that industry. So if you're in banking and credit unions, maybe it's somebody who worked in finance or banking. If you're in the technology field, maybe it's somebody who spent some time as a project manager related to technology implementations. If you're in manufacturing, then it's someone who has spent time in manufacturing. Bottom line, someone who can speak the language a little bit. Then what we have to do is we have to make sure these people have a foundation and an understanding for how clients make and approve decisions. See, your top performers, it's not that they know the most about your products and services. Your top performers generally understand the process those clients go through to make and approve decisions. We then want to make sure that you're focused on the problems that you solve for those clients. So instead of going out with a pitch deck and saying, here's what our product and service is, instead you go out into the field and you meet with people and say, here's why people just like you come to us. They come to us to address these issues, these concerns. What we found is that if you focus on the problems that you solve, if you focus on the issues that you address for your ideal clients, people may not know that they need your product or service, but they generally are quite aware of their own pitfalls, their own speed bumps, their own hurdles that you might be able to help them overcome. If you want to get top results for your team, take a look at the Same Side Selling Academy. Just visit samesideselling.com to learn more. Once we figure that out, then you start thinking about, well, who can they partner with? Who can they team up with? Maybe people in complementary fields who deal with those same types of clients where they can refer each other into those businesses. Ultimately, you want to make sure you're following consistent methodology. Now, obviously, in our world, people are following the same side selling methodology, but here's a spoiler alert for you. It's not the only system that'll work. You can use just about any system as long as you're following a consistent integrity-based process. So in the world of same-side selling, it's people focusing on the problems we solve up front. Then we use the client vision pyramid to differentiate ourselves. Then we jump into the same-side quadrants. We send a concise business case. There's a defined methodology that we follow for each step along the way. Then give those top performers a playbook for dealing with common objections. In the Same Side Selling Academy, we refer to this as the objection clinic, but it's really just a matter of the common problems that come up in your business. Don't make people figure out how to deal with them. Instead, give them the tools. So you say, when the client says, hey, this all sounds good, but your product doesn't do this, well, you've dealt with that objection 50 times. So give them a video they can play to address that. Give them a short lesson on how to deal with that situation so they don't have to figure it out. Instead, give them the training and the mentorship on how to deal with the most common things that come up. What I find is that there are usually fewer than 20 different common objections that come up for your business. And if you can address those, even if you address the top 10, you'll help your team be dramatically more successful. Most importantly, every single week, for 1 hour a week, commit to role play and feedback. In our world, we call this same side improv. We create a game that makes it kind of fun. Doesn't matter. Pick some time where you say, okay, you're going to play, one of you plays the customer, one of you plays the salesperson, one of you plays an observer. Let's navigate through our process and see what we can learn. And the idea is to mix it up at each iteration so it doesn't get boring, so that you've got a method to your madness and a purpose for that type of process and practice. If you don't give people feedback, if you don't mentor them through the process, if you don't give them a way to improve, then you're likely, if you just tell them to go practice without providing that feedback loop, you might just help them develop bad habits that are going to bite you in the tail in the future. So instead, we want to make sure we've got a consistent process that we follow. We want to make sure it's fun. And we want to make sure that as people practice, we give them feedback. Now, what does that feedback look like? Don't just say, well, you did this wrong, and that wrong. Instead, I always start by saying, identify two things that you liked best about what they did. And people will highlight the things that were positives. Then I ask the person who was playing the seller, what's the one thing that you would change about that interaction? And then they'll offer that. Then I ask the person who's playing the customer, what's the one thing you would change? And then the person who's the observer, what's the one thing that you would change? And that way, they're getting multiple pieces of feedback in terms of what went well and just one thing to focus on from each person about what they might want to change. And the person who was involved in the role play simply gets to say, thank you, internalize that, and decide which things you apply. See, it's a rather simple formula. But generally, what do? We give people all this product information. We give them briefings on every feature and benefit, but that is what moves the needle. So if you want to be like these people who they're new sellers, quickly become top performers, first make sure they've got some level of subject matter expertise that they can deliver value with, and then focus on the problems that you solve, a consistent methodology, understanding how to differentiate, have something like we have in the Same Side Selling Academy, with where they have the objection clinic to deal with a playbook for common objections that come up, give them the ability to practice and give feedback. And if you follow that process, some of those new sellers might just knock the cover off the ball, might be your top performers too. And then I'd love for you to share that story with me and our listeners about how you did that, because that's where we all learn, raise the bar for everybody, and help you become outrageously successful in how you grow your business with integrity. If there are topics you'd like to hear, just drop me a note to ian@ianaltman.com. Please subscribe, post comments, reviews. If you love it, especially if you don't, keep it to yourself. And we will see you next week on the Same Side Selling Podcast. So long.